A reading from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called,
"Samuel! Samuel!"
"Here I am."
Samuel ran to Eli and said,
"Here I am, and you have called me."
"I did not call. Lie down again."
So he went and lay down. The Lord called again,
"Samuel!"
Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said,
"Here I am, and you have called me."
"I did not call, my son. Lie down again."
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time,
"Samuel!"
And he went and got up and went to Eli.
"Here I am, for you have called me."
Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy.
"Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'"
So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before,
"Samuel! Samuel!"
"Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."
Then the Lord said to Samuel,
"See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever."
Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said,
"Samuel, my son."
"Here I am."
"What was it that God told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me, all that he told you."
So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him.
"It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him."
As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This biblical story is set in the land of Canaan. At the beginning of Samuel's childhood, the Israelites were in political chaos. Their society was corrupt, their neighbors were in battle, and they were on the cusp of serious change. The land of Canaan was moving away from being under the rule of judges to being a unified nation under kings. Samuel, who was merely 12 years old at the time, was the one who God called to stand at the threshold of a new reality. Samuel's calling from God went on to be a fundamental part of the history of Israel's formation. And today, when we face our own political chaos, corruption, neighbors in battle, and are on the cusp of serious change, I find peace in knowing that in the midst of all of this, God still calls us by name. And I find it hopeful to be reminded about the characters from today's story, Hannah, Eli, and Samuel, who each responded to God's call in their own way and led with faithfulness. First, let's talk about Hannah. Her story may seem a bit insignificant at first, but she is a lot more than just the mother of Samuel. Hannah struggled with infertility. She prayed and prayed for a child. I imagine that living in a time where so much emphasis was placed on a woman's ability to have children, she must have felt extremely discouraged. Yet, in her discouragement, she continued to pray and her faith remained strong. After taking a trip to Shiloh, where she met the priest Eli at the temple, she vowed to God that if she was blessed with a child, she would give him to the Lord. Shortly after her visit with Eli, Hannah became pregnant with Samuel. Hannah finally got the one thing that she had wished for so many years. Hannah was strong-willed, selfless, steadfast, and she had radical optimism. Hannah fulfilled her promise to give her child to the Lord. When Samuel was just 3 years old, Hannah took him to the temple and left him to be raised by Eli. There is faithfulness, and there is faithfulness, giving up the one thing that you have longed for your whole life. Eli offers a different view of faithfulness than Hannah does. Her faithfulness is at a moment where everything goes well. Her beloved son was just born. She was at a high point in her life. We see Eli's faithfulness at a time where everything seems to be falling apart. His sons had just committed criminal acts and deserted him in his old age. Though Eli was facing a downward spiral in his own life, he never stopped serving God. I mean, I wonder if Eli even felt qualified to take care of Samuel. After all, Eli's own sons grew up to do awful things, and Samuel was just 3 years old when he was placed under the care of Eli. In spite of everything, Eli has faith in God and continues to carry out his responsibilities as priest and becomes a mentor to Samuel. Later, when Samuel heard a voice, Eli has enough integrity to identify God in the moment and validate Samuel's experience. Eli was devoted, disciplined, and wise. Do you have an Eli? Or maybe you are somebody else's Eli. Growing up at Broadway and being a part of the youth group, I have had the opportunity to stand in both Eli and Samuel's shoes. I've experienced the powerful relationships of having a mentor. People like Jennifer Davis and Emily Davis have listened to me without judgment, encouraged me in all aspects of my life, and guided me along my own spiritual journey. The Elis in our life. I also feel grateful to have the relationships where I'm the one mentoring. Often, it's these experiences where I grow in my own courage, creativity, and compassion. And then, the main character in this story is Samuel. Because Samuel's mother dedicated him to the Lord in a life of service, Samuel's childhood looked a lot different than most kids. Samuel grew up in the temple under Shiloh, in the care of Eli. He helped Eli with his duties and doing chores. Most of us did not grow up in a sacred temple helping an old priest with his duties. But the scripture says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Neither of these phrases occur anywhere else in the entire Hebrew scriptures. It's pretty remarkable that in this time, when the word of the Lord was rare, when there were not many visions, that God saved this precious calling for a young person. The story goes that one night, little Samuel hears his name called. He doesn't understand who the voice is at first. He assumes that the voice is old Eli calling. Spoiler alert, the voice is not old Eli. Three times the voice calls out, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And three times the boy goes to old Eli asking, you called? After all, the word of the Lord was rare. Samuel never considered that the voice could be God. Here, in this unsettled time, on the cusp of serious change, it's worth noting that the voice of God came to a young person. It is surprising, but also maybe there are reasons for that. Here was a young person who had an openness and a belief in himself that he could do it. Samuel does not question his abilities to take on what God is asking of him. When we are young, we see life more as it is and less as we fear as what it could become. As we grow up, society and our own life experiences tend to make us more cautious and reluctant to change, especially when that change is an abrupt calling from a strange voice. Some might say 12-year-old Samuel was naive to blindly answer God's call. I say Samuel was trusting, optimistic, brave, and open. Sometimes these are qualities that can fade with time and age. But Samuel's calling from God does not include God telling him, you must wait 10 years to be a leader, or be out of school, or be a certain age, or have your life together. God called Samuel by his name as he was. When Samuel heard God's call, he was not trying to capitalize on the situation or seize the moment. I mean, he thought it was Eli who had called him in the first place. He was not trying to gain attention. Samuel was truly seized by the moment. He does not object to his calling. I think about Moses, who heard the voice of God as an adult. And Moses' response was, "Can you please send my brother Aaron instead? For I have a stuttering problem." Don't we all wish we could send our brother when we're asked to do hard things? I sure do. But with Samuel, there's no begging God to send somebody else, just Samuel's willingness to respond with listening ears. He simply says yes to God's call. Along with the other graduating seniors, I'm standing on the cusp of serious change in my own life right now. I turned 18 this year, I just graduated high school, and I'm moving to a new state to start college in the fall. I'm at this weird yet exciting time where I'm saying goodbye to my childhood and embarking on a new chapter. Two nights ago, I sat on stage facing 500 of my fellow classmates at my high school graduation. I served as student body president this year, so I had the honor to lead my class in the turning of our tassels. There's a lot of meaning behind the simple act of moving your tassel from right to left. It recognizes a significant academic milestone. It fosters a sense of unity and shared achievement. And it symbolizes a transition from high school to future endeavors. But most of all, it's a statement from the graduates saying yes to what comes next. It's not an ending, but a beginning. Here, in this time of ending one thing and beginning another, can we be brave enough to say yes to God's call? Can we be like Samuel and respond with openness and eagerness? Can we grow old without losing our childlike faith? When we think about the characters from the story, we might first relate to one character in particular. But the truth is, we probably have bits and pieces of each of these people within us. Some days we get it right. Some days we are like Hannah, faithfully giving our hearts and lives to God. Some days we are like Eli, not knowing how to clean up our messes, but here nonetheless. And some days we are like Samuel, answering God's call with an open heart, even when we do not know what lies ahead. So, when God calls your name, whether it's Hannah, or Eli, or Samuel, or Kennedy, or Ava, or Crash, or Rosie, or Charlie, or Jack, or Q, respond with listening ears and an open heart, for God has a plan for each of us.